and exploring this conditioned nature of experience, seeing how causes, conditions influence what's arising in our experience. One of the things we can begin to be curious about, which supports this exploration of continuity of mindfulness, exploration of continuity of the awareness, is being curious about the conditions where we lose awareness. And so, as you go through your day, you may notice that awareness gets lost in particular activities, maybe when you go to your room or as you enter into the dining room at lunchtime or doing your work meditation. There may be particular activities of the day where mindfulness tends to get lost. Recognizing that, it often this will happen in retrospect, that we begin to see, we leave our yogi job or we leave our room and suddenly awareness returns and it's like, oh yeah, I lost it when I was doing that. And so having a conscious recognition of that, this is not about self-recrimination about the fact that we lost awareness. And it's also not about doubling down in those places or those times, but more about curiosity. What happens? What happens as I approach my room, knowing you're mindful perhaps as you're walking towards your room and you've seen multiple times losing awareness in your room? Rather than doubling down and trying to hold on to awareness as you go into your room, be curious about what is it that kind of arises that is the place where mindfulness leaves. Something we get involved in our room or something. So just curiosity about where awareness gets lost as an exploration for understanding. Awareness might get lost through particular sense doors. Seeing is often an area where awareness wanders out. So in the walking practice, you might notice if when the mind wanders, is it wandering out of a particular sense door, maybe through hearing or seeing? You also might notice that mindfulness gets lost with particular mind states. And so again, not trying to double down with those mind states. So if you notice boredom, for instance, boredom's a very common one for mindfulness to get lost with. So rather than doubling down with boredom and either like trying to bring up the energy or the interest there, but just it's more like boredom. Oh, what happens with boredom that the mind kind of just collapses? So again, encouraging the exploration around this. As we see the conditions that lead to mindfulness getting lost, often then we can begin to recognize when we're heading into those conditions. So in the situations of noticing particular activities, we often have some degree of mindfulness and know, oh, heading to an activity where mindfulness tends to get lost. So maybe being a little bit more curious about what happens there. As we see mind states arising, often we do know, here's boredom. And we're there with it for a little while, or sleepiness. Sleepiness is another one where mindfulness tends to get lost. States of mind where we have the habit of non-mindfulness. What happens? How does that disconnection with that experience happen? Do you have any questions this morning? Can you give an example of a place where this was not, where you were not certain of this? So the question is about recognizing the difference between wisdom and a thought and how you might discern that. And the example is in a place where mindfulness is pretty present and there's a lot of calm. Sometimes a thought might pop in that seems like an aha kind of thought. But it's not so clear sometimes whether that's just the mind just making something up or... So there's different ways to for me at least this kind of those thoughts sometimes when wisdom arises there's often an experience there a kind of a maybe a release of some kind so there's a shift of mind in some fashion. May not be big, you know, it might just be a little like, oh, that's just anger, you know, so there's just a little bit of a shift. And I would say sometimes what happens with that wisdom arising is that the wisdom isn't the thought itself. But sometimes wisdom then expresses itself with a thought. Or it's almost like the way our minds recognize the wisdom is to think. So there can be that connection when there's a shift. It's like the mind will go, oh, it's just anger. Or, yeah, at one point in watching self-hatred, seeing the arising, the very beginning of the arising of the movement towards self-hatred and the mind in that moment, seeing it clearly, and the thought arose, this is just a thought. And so there was that verbalization of the understanding. It doesn't always come with the verbalization, but it can. I would say that wisdom, I mean, if it's an aha kind of thought around like what you should do when you go home or how you should fix that problem, you know, there may be small kind of wisdom in there, or you know, a weak kind of wisdom in there. The wisdom of that we're really cultivating here is the wisdom around impermanence, unreliability, not self. This is the wisdom that frees us. And so often, when the thought, this is just a thought. That was expressive of a kind of the Dharma understanding that this thought is not inherently anything. It's just an empty phenomenon. And so that was expressive of that kind of understanding. And so sometimes you might see the content of the thought is more about your personal life or something along those lines. And I wouldn't say to discount those by any means. If you've got a kind of an aha feeling with them, there's probably some wisdom there. And I would say generally, wisdom thoughts just arise, as you described it, as opposed to our kind of thinking about something and, you know, trying to figure something out, you know, that we're actively thinking. Wisdom thoughts tend to not feel like we did it. It feels like it just arose. But, you know, also, aversion thoughts just arise too, so I'm no good, I'm a failure. Those just arise too. So it's not, you know, that the just noticing the just arising of a thought does not in any way mean it would be necessarily wisdom. But I'd say that for me at least, there's a part of it as the feeling associated with that arising of thought. Is there a sense of understanding of a shift of recognition? There are different ways to recognize wisdom at work. Yeah. So the question is, when in the meditation I said the nature of aversion is to separate, she asked, is it to separate from experience? I would say the nature of aversion is kind of the creation of self and other that creates that distance and separation, and the desire to be apart from. So that kind of, yeah, movement. Yeah.
Carrie, you said that wisdom releases dukkha. Could you explain that a little more? I think I got it.
So I said earlier the job description for wisdom is to understand dukkha and also to release it. And the release part seems to happen when wisdom is strong. So what I mean by that when the mind sees suffering very clearly and it understands that the wisdom begins to understand that the mind itself is contributing to that suffering. As I said yesterday, I think I said this yesterday, that the kind of the organism wants to move towards well-being. And when wisdom is at work, it's moving us towards a deeper kind of well-being than our habitual kind of find pleasant things, get rid of unpleasant things. And so when we meet suffering with awareness and wisdom, the understanding happens that this is suffering and that there is a contribution of clinging in the mind. So the wisdom understands how that suffering is put together, not only from conditions in the world, but also internal conditions. And the wisdom understands what can be released in those inner conditions. And the wisdom allows that releasing to happen. And so as we see and meet dukkha with wisdom and awareness, that kind of inner, like Gil called it, the biological imperative towards freedom. That's kind of wisdom at work, that movement to release those conditions in the mind that are contributing to the mind's suffering. Can the body mind rest in awareness? So what do you mean by rest in awareness?
Can it come to rest? There's a lot of movement. It seems to slow down as awareness grows, becomes more prominent. Is that movement always there?
Does I would say to there can be a feeling that of resting in awareness. There can be a feeling of that. And more, I would say that as we connect to the experience of being aware of awareness, awareness itself is kind of like that mirror. It's reflecting. The reflecting, the awareness doesn't have a lot of movement in particular. It's just awareness. And there can be a feeling of resting there. There's also useful, I think, not to hold an idea that it's permanent. Yeah, or any kind of goal. Yeah. There definitely can be a feeling of that resting there. And even though in that resting, there can be an awareness of a lot of movement. So that resting, knowing awareness as a place of kind of stillness, there's a kind of a stillness to that knowing. I mean, you just look at a mirror, the mirror is still. You know, there can be a lot of activity in front of the mirror, but you can kind of attune to the stillness of the mirror. Kind of similarly, we can attune to the stillness of the awareness. And yet simultaneously know hearing, seeing, body sensation, thoughts, emotions, moods kind of flowing through. I would say that kind of feeling between movement and stillness may be it partly about, I'm not sure if this is completely what it is, but partly about whether the attention is kind of taking in more the awareness side of the experience or the object side of the experience. And the mind can do both. It can do either. Sometimes the attention will be drawn to the objects of what's happening, experience. Another word for object could just be experience. Every time we say object, we can just replace it with experience. So the attention may be drawn to experience, to sights and sounds and smells and tastes and touch. Or the attention may be drawn to that kind of the still knowing or the awareness. And then sometimes there can be a sense of knowing both at the same time. And what I've seen for myself that's most helpful is not to preference one or the other, but just to recognize, oh, these are the conditions. The mind is knowing this right now. This is how the mind is knowing. This is how awareness is working right now. And to not kind of preference and say, oh, I should find my way to that stillness. At times that may happen. And then we get to notice the conditioning nature of that. So yeah, it can happen, definitely, but I wouldn't say that, definitely not a goal. But the recognition of that still nature of the awareness is a piece of the understanding that comes too. Yeah. So, just one reminder for the groups today. Alexis's second group is meeting at 2:30, so just know that the 11 o'clock. There's not an 11 o'clock group for Alexis this morning. It's a 2:30 group. Enjoy your day.